Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Mem Ches. We continue to learn for the safety and success of the Chayalim. They should be Ezras Hashem, all have Refuah Shleima, those in need. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim, be Ezras Hashem ben Heira, in good health, and be Ezras Hashem, there should be Shalom in all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up the Gemara about 10 lines down from the top, Mem Ches, of an Aleph with the words, Omar Rava. Yesterday's share, we had a famous machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to whether Mos, Konos or not, whether money can make an acquisition. When you pay, Reuven pays Shimon $100, so as soon as Shimon gets the $100, does the item belong now to Reuven? Does Reuven automatically get the item? So Rav Yochanan says, Minat Torah, yes, based upon Pesukim that we brought down yesterday. So Rav Yochanan's shita is that Mos Konos Midyaraisa, that the money does make the acquisition for Reuven. However, the rabbis came along and said, we are concerned that if Shimon no longer owns the item, but it's still in his physical possession, he's not going to be careful with it. And he's going to say, sorry, it got burned up in a fire, and he's not going to have any incentive to go and save what now is Reuven's item. So therefore, the rabbis were gozer that even though on a deraisa level, Mos, Konos, they said, no, you need to do a meshicha. Reuven has to make an actual kinyan on the item in order for him to have it in his possession. Otherwise, we'll still view it as Shimon's, and Shimon's responsible for it. On the other hand, Reish Lakish says, no. Meshicha is the only way you can make this kinyan on a deraisa level. Mos are not Konos, midyaraisa, and therefore, this din is not just the gzeira of the chacham, it's because it doesn't work on a deraisa level. Mos are not konos. So that's the machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish, and today we're going to further discuss that. So we begin again, 10 lines on the top, Mem Chesed Aleph, with the words, Omar Rava. Rava tells us, Kra, there's a pasuk, as well as umasnisa, as well as a braisa, misayale le Reish Lakish, that support Reish Lakish Ashita, that mos are not konos midaraisa, that meshicha is konos midaraisa. What's the pasuk? Kra, the pasuk is d'chsev v'chicheish ba'amiso. You shall deny something to your friend, either b'pikadon, either in regards to a collateral that you're denying that he deposited with you. Oh, b'sumis yod. We'll have to explain what b'sumis yod means in a moment, but we'll see that it means a loan. And then, oh, b'gezel, or that you stole something from him. Oh, ashak esamisa, or that you withheld his wages. So in all of these four scenarios, you have something in your possession which you are denying, and then you swear to it, and then you swore falsely, so you're going to have to bring an asham gizela. Now, what are all these things in the pasuk? So pikadon is obvious. We don't have to explain what pikadon is. That's when Reuven gave you a pikadon, and you're denying that you have the pikadon in your possession. What is sumes yod? So the Gemara tells us, to sumes yod, Amar el Chista is kigon. For example, sheyiched lo kli lihava also, that Reuven lent Shimon money, and Shimon said, this kli, but Reuven doesn't make any sort of a kinyan on the kli, this kli is going to be the collateral for the loan. So yiched lo kli, he designated a kli for him in regards to the loan that Reuven had given him, but Reuven never physically made a kinyan on this collateral. That's what sumes yod is. Gezel is also self-explanatory. We don't have to explain that. Oshak es amiso. What is that? Oshak. Amar Ruchista. Ruchista tells us that oshak means kigon sheyiched lo kli li oshko. That Reuven worked for Shimon. Shimon owes him the wages. Shimon doesn't pay him the wages. He says, this will be a collateral. This kli will be a collateral for the oshek, for the work that you had done for me. And Reuven never makes a kinyan on that kli. So in both the case of sumes yod, which was the loan that there was a collateral against, but Reuven didn't make a kinyan on the collateral, as well as this oshak, which is a designation of a pikadon, a kli that will be for the collateral for the money that he owes him as wages, but Reuven again never made a kinyan, never made a meshicha in that collateral. Now, that's the first pasuk. But then right after that, we have another pasuk. V'chi adre kra, when we have a repetition of that pasuk, ksiv, it doesn't list all of them. It only lists some of them. V'hoyo ki yeche tovi oshem. So the pasuk tells us this person then swears falsely. He denies that he has this collateral in his possession. And then he admits that he swore falsely. So he'll have to bring an asham gezela. So, the heshivas hagzela shegozal. Number one, he has to return the principal. If the item is extant, he has to return the item itself. Otherwise, he has to pay the value of that principal. The heshivas hagzela asher gozal. Or, not only the gzela that he stole, o esa oshek asher oshok, or the money that he was supposed to pay him, his salary, the wages that he was supposed to pay him, which he didn't pay him, so he has to pay him those wages. Or the pikadon that was deposited with him, the item, Reuven had deposited an item with Shimon. Shimon had denied having that item. He swore falsely, and now he admits that he has it. So the three items, the gzela, the oshek, and the pikadon, are all mentioned that he has to go and return them. However, the ilu tesumes yod lo ahadre, but the pasuk doesn't go to reiterate the tesumes yod, the money that was loaned him, and he had designated a collateral to be the collateral for that loan, albeit Reuven never made a kinyan in that collateral. He now denies having that collateral, and he swears falsely. It doesn't repeat the tsumas yod. My timer, why not? Isn't it because lav mishum demichasra mishicha? Isn't it because that collateral never really belonged to Reuven? So when he swore falsely, it wasn't actually something that Reuven had owned. And therefore, you clearly see here that if there was a mos that were konos, like Rav Yochanan says, so then Reuven would have owned the collateral when he gave him the loan. So the collateral becomes his, Reuven's, even without a mashicha, because mos are konos on a derais level. What do you see from here on a derais level? The mos are not konos, because there is no repetition over here that they'll have to go bring in a sham gezela for the tisumes yod. So that seems to be a raya to Reish Lakish and the kasha on Rav Yochanan. So I'm like, Rav Papa says to Rav, no. Ema me oshek hu dohadur kra. Maybe we can learn out the sumas yod from oshek. The pasuk does mention oshek, and therefore the oshek, which is the person not paying the wages, and there was no kinyan on there, on the pikadon that was instead of the wages, and yet the pasuk repeats it. So too, the same thing applies by the sumas yod. There was no kinyan, and yet you do have to bring an asham in this situation because it's similar to oshek. So that's what Rav Papa says to Rava, and therefore it's not a raya from the pasuk that Reish Lakish is correct. So Rava says back, no, hacham ayaskin, you know what we're talking about, kegon shenitalo mimenu v'chazru v'vkidu etzlo. In the case of the oshek, you know why the pasuk says that he goes and has this din, even though he didn't make a kinyan mashicha, that he is it Reuven owned it? Because Reuven did in fact own it. In this situation, Reuven had worked for Shimon. And Shimon said, I can't pay you. Here, take this vase. This will be the collateral. And Reuven makes a kinyan on the collateral. And then he says, listen, I don't want to hold on to this vase. I trust you. You hold on to the vase. So therefore, in fact, there was a kinyan mashiach over here. And that's why the pasuk repeats it and tells us by the oshek that yes, you're going to have, if you swore falsely, you're going to have to bring an asham gezela. As opposed to, by the case of the loan, by the case of Tsumas Yad, there was no such kinyan that was made. So Gemara says, if this is true, if Rava is telling us that in fact this was something that for the wages that he wasn't paid, Reuven made a kinyan in the item, so then how's that any different than a pikadon? He owns it, and now he deposits it with Shimon. So this is the case of pikadon. How is this any different? The oshek that you're now telling me was he owned the item, he was given the item, made a kinyan mashiach on the item, and now he gives it back to Shimon for safekeeping, so that's the case of pikadon. Hainu pikadon. So Gemara says, no, this is exactly what it's coming to teach us. Trei gavne pikadon. That there are two types of pikadon. This is the regular case of pikadon. Reuven gives something to Shimon to hold on to. And then there's this case where Reuven is owed wages by Shimon. Shimon gives him something, and then Reuven gives it back to Shimon. It's different than the standard case of pikadon, and therefore it has to tell us both of them. Trei gavne pikadon. So Gemara says, if that's true, so then ihachi tesumes yod nami lihadre. So then, if this is so, then you're telling me trei gavne pikadon, so then you should have repeated by tsumas yod as well. Because v'lokme, you should have said, kigon, shenitalo heimenu, v'chazer, v'ifkidu etzlo. Then that case would be that Reuven had lent Shimon money, Shimon couldn't pay him back, Shimon gave him a collateral to hold on to, and then Reuven said, I don't want to hold on to the collateral, I trust you, you give back, he gives it back the collateral. So this is exactly the same case, and we have no raya one way or the other as to whether Rav Yochanan is right or whether Reish Lakish is right, because they're all dealing with cases where he actually did make a kinyan mashiach. So Gemara says, no. Iahadre kra, if in fact it had repeated to sumes yod, so then you're right. Iahadre kra lo to yufta lo siyata. Then it wouldn't be a raya to Rav Yochanan or a proof against Rav Yochanan. It wouldn't be a riot to Reish Lakish or a proof against Reish Lakish. But the pasuk did not repeat the Sumas Yod. Hashto de lo ahadre kra. Since, in fact, the Torah went out of its way not to repeat the Sumas Yod, it's to show you that there's a difference between the Sumas Yod and the other cases, and therefore, kra misayale, this pasuk actually therefore does support the sheet of Reish Lakish that most are not konos b'daraisa, because, in fact, you didn't repeat it. And if you didn't repeat it, it means that that's not a case where Reuven actually made a kinyan mashicha on the item. Reuven lent Shimon money, Shimon couldn't pay him back, or gave him a collateral, and then Reuven took the collateral, made a mashicha, and then gave it back. No, it would have repeated if that was the case. The fact that it didn't repeat it tells us that this is a case where Reuven never made a kinyan mashicha on the item. And in fact, he doesn't have to go make a shvua in this case because he never made a kinyan on it, and Mos ain't no konos, and therefore it really does still belong to Shimon, and there is no din here of him swearing falsely on something that Reuven owns. So in fact, it does bring a raya to Reish Lakish. More questions this and says, Utusumis Yod lo ahadre kra? Now we're going to upset the whole assumption. Are you telling me that the pasuk doesn't mention the Sumas Yod? When we read it, Veishas Azela, Asher Goza, Lesa Oshik, Asher Moshak, Asher Bikadu, Shehov, Kadosa, Ito. So it didn't say Sumas Yod. But now we're going to question that. Are you really telling me that it doesn't say Sumas Yod? With Sumas Yod, Lo Ahadri Kod, the pasuk doesn't reiterate it? Well, Tanya, we have another brace that it says, Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Minayin Liten Esho Amur Lumalo Lumata. How do we know that that which is stated above applies as well to that which is stated later on below? In other words, all of the four things that are mentioned in the first pasuk are also applicable in the reiteration in the second pasuk, even though only three of them are mentioned. Because the chsev, it says in the second pasuk, O mikol asher yishova olav l'sheker, it adds another statement, that which you shall swear upon falsely. And that comes to include Tesumas Yod, as it says, the Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravu, Omer Rab, as Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Baravu, said the name of Rab, this extra wording, O mikol asher yishova olav l'sheker, is exactly coming to teach us, l'rabos Tesumas Yod l'hishovon. So it is reiterated in the second pasuk, and therefore we could seemingly schlug up the raya to support Reish Lakish. Where it says, no, bottom line is, that's a drasha, behedya, explicitly to openly state all four again. No, it did not. Behedya mia loa hadrikor. It didn't specifically state Sumas Yod. We have a drasha that comes to include it, but it didn't specifically state it, and therefore it is a good raya, in fact, towards Reish Lakish. Okay. Now, originally, when Rava had said, he said, I have psukim, we just proved the psukim in support of Reish Lakish, and he said, I also have a brisa in support of Reish Lakish. Masnisa minolon, where do we have a brisa in support of Reish Lakish? The Tanya. Now, we have the gears over here, the Tanya. There are those that say that this is a Mishnah, but we'll keep it with the gears, so that we have the Tanya, that this is the following brisa. Nisona libalon moal. If a person, let's say it's the Gizbor for Hektish, he's holding on to Hektish's money, and he doesn't intentionally take that money, but unintentionally, he gives that money. He thought it was his own money, but it really was Hektish's money. And he gives it to the guy in charge of the bathhouse attendant. He gives it to the balon. Remember, we had spoken about the balon in yesterday's year. He needs to be given the asimon in order to go and know that that he'll have to prepare a certain amount of towels and a certain amount of water, hot water. Incidentally, I had been mentioning that an asimon is a slug, the typical asimon, and I gave as an example the old asimon, the tokens that they use for the phones and everything. So one of the listeners, Jay Levinson, had emailed me and said the old asimons, in fact, do have a tsura on them, and the old token asimons that were used in Eretz Yisrael, so they do, in fact, have some tsura on them, and that wouldn't be the perfect example of the slug, the asimon. So, in fact, there are different types of asimons that were used in Eretz Yisrael, and some of the really original asimons actually were, I think, more like a slug. And then, ultimately, the ones that had the hole in the middle of them, so they actually did have some tsura on them. So, I thank Jay for pointing this out. There are different types of asimons that they even use in Eretz Yisrael. Certainly, the Gemara is talking about something that is a slug. In any event, when you give the balon a coin, so he gave him over here money. He wasn't giving him an asimon over here. He was paying for it, and he paid for it with Hektish money without realizing it. So this is mi'ila. If it went from the gizbar, meaning Hektish, to the balon, so then this would be mi'ila, and mo'al, he would have to go and pay the principal, pay a fifth, and bring an asha mi'ila. Now, that's what the brisa says. Rav comments on this price of Yom Rav, Dafka Balon. The price specifically gave us the example of the Balon. Dafka Balon hu de lo machzra mishicha. It specifically gave us over here the example of the Balon because there is no mishicha that would be done in the case of the Balon. Because you're going to the bathhouse. There's nothing that you have to do a mishicha on to go and obtain. So that's why Bedavka told us that you're mo'al in the case of a Balon. However, Avomide Achrisa, if there was another type of scenario where the gizbar, the guy in charge of the hekdish money, accidentally, unintentionally, took that money, thinking it was his own, and purchased something else, where the mixera meshicha, where he just gave the money, let's say, to the storekeeper to go buy the item, but he didn't do a kinyan meshicha on the item, in that situation, lo mo'al ad demashich, there would not be ne'ilah until he actually took the item. In other words, the mo'os are not konos. The b'risa seems to support Reish Lakish. And only in the case of the balon, where there is no meshicha, he's going to use the hot water. You don't make a meshicha on the hot water. In that situation, it gave us that you're a mo'al as soon as you gave the money to the balon. But in any other case, where you're giving money to someone else, and unintentionally, it was hektish money. So until there's a meshicha on the item that you gave the money for, there is no me'ila. So more questions. It says, wait a second, we have another brayso of Tanya. Nisana lisapar. If you gave money to the barber, so then, ma, you're also doing me'ila in that situation. But wait a second. Lisapar, haboy, lemimshach tispares. In the case of the barber, there is something that you have to make a meshicha on. In order for him to go, so to say, cut your hair, you have to go and acquire the scissors. And therefore, in this situation, one would have argued that just giving the money to the sapar, to the barber, shouldn't be over me'ila until you do a meshicha on the scissors, on the tisporis. So that seems to contradict what Rav just said in explaining the son of the balon, that you are mol. So it should have said, the son of the sapar, you should not be mol until you make a kinyan meshicha on the scissors. So one says, no. Because this brisa that says that you're mol right away is when you're dealing with a non-Jewish barber. The sapor nochri. Because the lav bar mishichu, in that situation, there is no din of mishicha. We know we're coming up on Pesach, and we sell our chametz to a non-Jewish person. We sell it to the rabbi, usually. We make the rabbi a shaliach, and the rabbi goes to the expert rav, all the rabbanim get together. So, for example, they go to Rabbi Willig, and Rabbi Willig does the actual sale to the nochri of all the rabbanim's chametz that they've been the shaliach for. And that's because to make a kinyan with a guy is a very, very big machlokis in the poskim as to how exactly you can accomplish a kinyan with a guy. So what Rabbi Willig will do then is go through multiple kinyanim in order to guarantee that we have definitely sold all of our chametz to the guy in question. Now, therefore, a guy, according to the Gemara here, is not capable of making a kinyan meshicha, the lav bar meshicha. And therefore, when you gave over the money to the sapor, who is a nochri, so then that is the act of me'ila, because there is no kinyan meshicha that will have to be made. And I'll show you this is right, the Gemara says, because we have another brisa that says this. Tanya Nami Hochi, the following brisa supports what we just said. Nisana lisapor, here the brisa says, you gave it over to a barber. Oh, lisapon. Sapon is a sailor. It comes from the lashon of svina. So you gave money over unintentionally. You were mo'al. You took this money that was hektish. You thought it was your own, and you gave it over to a barber, or you gave it over to a sailor. Let's say you're going on a ferry, and you paid the sailor who's running the ferry. Oh, l'chol baliumnus, or any other artisan that you went and gave over money to by accident. You took hektish money and you gave it over to this person. So the bright says befeirish. In the case of the sapor, sapon, and any bali umnas, lo mo'al o demashach. You aren't over me'ila just by giving him the money, because it's still considered yours, because we pass him like Reish Lakish, not like Rav Yochanan. And therefore, there hasn't been an act of me'ila, and it's still in your possession until you make a meshicha on the item. When you make a meshicha on the item, so then at that point in time, the money is transferred from you, hektish, to the other person, and at that point in time, there is a din of me'ila. Now, this brisa seems to contradict the other brisa. Kashon ahadadi. And the other brisa we said, nisana lisapar, you're over me'ila. And here it says that you're not over me'ila until you make a kinyan. So the two brisas seem to be in conflict with each other, contradictory. Oh, so we reconcile them by saying, no, elalav shmamina, the first brisa, kan bisapar nochri. When you make me'ila right away, that's because you're dealing with Esaper Nukri, and there is no Kinyan Mashiach. And this Brisa which says, no, you only have Me'ilah Ad the Moshach, when you do the Mashiach, it's kind of Esaper Yisrael. Oh, very good. We reconcile the Brisa. Shema Mina. This is a good Raya. And in fact, this Brisa also supports Reish Lakish. So Rava brought down both a Pasuk as well as a Brisa in support of Reish Lakish Shita. Now, Mora says, V'chein Omer Rav Nachman. However, Rav Nachman said, as Rashi says, Ki Rav Yochanan. Rav Nachman holds like Rav Yochanan that most are konos with the Raisa. Devar Torah, most konos. In fact, the din is like Rav Yochanan that most are konos with the Raisa. And in fact, he says, Ubadko Levi b'mastise v'yashkach. And Levi went to check out his listing of all the Raisas. The Brises, by definition, are meaning Berurah, outside. They were never codified by Rebbe into the Mishnayis, but they were all Tanoic. And in fact, there were many Brises around. We've already mentioned many times that Ruchi and Rav Hoshaya, they codified the Brises, or those who were considered very authentic Brises if they were learned by Ruchi and Rav Hoshaya. However, there were other Brises as well that weren't necessarily as well accepted. So Levi had a collection of Brises as well, and he checked out his collection. And he found the following Brisa. Rashi's not going to use the word Vyashkach, but in any event, Levi brings forth the following Brisa. Nisana Lisiton. If the person who's the gizbar, he's in charge of the hektish money, and by accident he takes what he thinks is his own money, but it really was hektish money, and he gave it to a seton. A seton is a person that has a tremendous amount of product, and he's buying it from this major wholesaler, and he's going to then, the wholesaler sells it to many different people. He's the big factory, he's the big collection of stuff, and individuals buy it from him. So this gizbar, this person who has the hektish money, by accident, thinking it's his own money, takes the hektish money and he gives it to the seton. And as soon as he gives it to the seton, the brisa says he is mal. Now, this seems to go in accordance with Rav Yochanan because he didn't do a kinyan mashiach here in the brisa, and therefore it would seem to suggest that just giving over the money, that is a daraisa level transaction. And in fact, he's mal just by giving it over. This supports Rav Yochanan said. Return to Melchess Amid Beis, where it says, so then new, this Bryce is a kash on Reish Lakish, El Akash on Reish Lakish. If it's a riot to Rav Yochanan, it should be a kash on Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, Amalach Reish Lakish, yeah, I agree with you. Hamani Rabbi Shimoni. I agree, we had this down yesterday, we had a machlokis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon as to whether Mos are konos or not. And yes, the Chachamim hold like me, Reish Lakish says. And I agree, Rabbi Shimon holds like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that Mos are konos, like this Bryce that we just wrote down. So this Bryce is a Das Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, and it's not a problem to me, because I hold that the Chachamim, and therefore this individual Brisa is not a kasha against me. Okay. Gemara continues, and it quotes our Mishnah. Aval Amru, however, the Mishnah tells us, the rabbi said that when you go back on your word, you get a Mishapara. Mishapara v'chule. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that paid back the Dor HaMabul, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that paid back the Dor HaFlaga, will pay you back if you unfortunately retract your word. You gave your word on something and you retract it, so you get what's called this Mishapara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it not worth your while. Now, Itma, we learned in the Gemara. Abaya Omar, Abaya said, Oduye Modi'in Onle. Abaya says, the rabbis, when they tell him he's going to get a Mishapara, they just tell him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do this to you. But they don't curse him that this should happen. They just say, a person that goes back on their words, so we're informing you, Oduye Modinale, we're letting you know that this type of thing that you did, going back on your word, gets you a Mishapara. Rav Amar Melat Laitinale. They actually go and curse him, so to say. They say, if you go back on your word, you will be cursed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rava says it in a much stronger way than Abaya says it. Now, Abaya says, we just notify him of this, Oduye Modina Le, that's based upon the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'nasi V'amcha Lo Sa'ar. Famous Pasuk from Parshas Mishpatim, where it tells us that V'nasi V'amcha Lo Sa'ar. You're not allowed to go and curse a Nasi, a leader of the Jewish people. You can't go and curse him. Now, incidentally, this applies as well to a regular person. It's amcha. Anybody who is bi'amcha, this applies to. You're not allowed to curse him. So therefore, the pasuk says that we're not allowed to curse somebody. So Abaya says, therefore, we don't curse this person ourselves. We just inform them that somebody that goes back on their word, they're going to be chayiv by HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishapara. But we don't say, you are being cursed. Whereas Rav Amar, no, Meilat Laitinale. Rav says, we actually curse the guy. We say, you will get a Mishapara if you don't go back on your word. Because the pasuk says, be amcha. This person who is your amcha, he's acting like a yid should act, he shouldn't be cursed. But Ba'osi Ma'isi Amcha, you don't curse him. This guy who's going back on his word, that's not Ma'isi Amcha. That's not the way a Yiddish person acts. That's not the way an Erlich person acts. You say something, so keep your word. You don't keep your word, you're no longer included in V'nasiv Yamcha Lo Sar, and we are allowed to curse you. And in fact, Rava says, Ne'i Let Laitin Alei. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, Mina Amina Lo, where do I get a better proof that this is in fact we actively, the basin goes and curses the guy, Mino Amina law, because the Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, Amaisa Shahaya, Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, Yavulei Zuzei Amilcha. Rav Chiya Bar Yosef had promised some people, and they gave him money for salt that he was selling. So he had the obligation to go give them the salt. But then they didn't make a kinyan mashiach on the salt, and lesof iyakar milcha. Salt went up in price, and now they'd give them $100 for the salt, but now the salt's worth $200. Now, since they never made a kinyan mashiach on it, so Rav Chiya Bar Yosef wanted to go back on his word and say, listen, I'm not selling it to you for $100. You want to buy it, it's not $200. Now, Rav Chiya Bar Yosef is an Erlich tzaddik over here. So he goes to ask Rav Yochanan, am I allowed to do this or not? Also, the comment of Rav Yochanan to ask him what he should do. So Rav Yochanan, lishitaso amalei. No, zil havlu. Rav Yochanan says, you have to give them the salt because you told them, I will sell you the salt for 100. The fact that they didn't make a kinyan mashiach on it, nevertheless, you're going to be chayav misha parah if you don't go and pay them. Vilo kabil alecha misha parah. And you should understand, Rav Yochanan tells Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, if you don't follow through on your word, you will be accepting upon yourself a Misha Parah. Now, he didn't curse him and say, you are going to get this Misha Parah. He said, by your going back on your word, you should realize the consequences of that. You've accepted upon yourself a Misha Parah. And therefore, the Amis Oduye Modina Le, if it is, in fact, like Abaya wants to say, that you just inform him of this, so then you don't think Rav Chiya knew about this? Rav Chiya Bar Yosef Baro Duihu. He already knew this din. So therefore, it must be the Rav Yochanan is in fact cursing him. It's not just saying, like I just explained it a moment ago, V'lo kabil alecha misha parah. If not, you're accepting upon yourself misha parah. It's in fact Rav Yochanan is telling Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, you are in fact cursed. I'm giving you this curse because you're going back on your word. Because you can't say that he was teaching this din. He obviously knew this din. He was a great Talmud Chacham. So therefore, it must be, Rava says, that Rav Yochanan is actually cursing him, lishitasi, as I said. Rava says, what are you talking about? The Elomai, so then what are you saying? That this case is actually cursing him? Melat Laitin Alei? Rav Yochanan actually cursed Rav Chiya Bar Yosef? Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, Asi Lekabuli Alei, Litusa de Rabbanan? Are we dealing over here with a Rasha? If Rav Chiya Bar Yosef knows this din, do you think he's coming to ask Rav Yochanan, what should I do? And Rav Yochanan says, I'm cursing you if you don't give it back. That can't be the case. Something's fishy over here. So what's the real story? Ella, here's now the facts of the story and why it's not a raya to Rava. Ella, Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, what happened was a Rav on who diyavile. They didn't pay him $100 and now we're expecting to get the salt. And Rav Chiya Bar Yosef said, sorry, the prices went up and you didn't make a kinyan on it, so therefore I'm able to go and retract and say, I'm not giving you the salt unless you give me $200. No, they had given him an eruva. They had paid partially for the salt. They didn't give him $100, they gave him $50. And therefore, Rav Chiya Bar Yosef said, who saw that? He said, kinegda hukona. Yes, they gave me $50, and therefore they're entitled to $50 worth of salt, half of what they had originally wanted to purchase. So yes, I have to give them the $50 worth of salt. But the other half, they never gave me money for. So therefore, in that situation, I do think I'm allowed to say, sorry, the price has now gone up. You didn't pay for it yet. So it's not a Misha Parah I should be chayav for. This is a regular business deal. You should have come and bought it. If you had paid me the $100, I would have to give you. And I would have voluntarily been very happy to give you the $100 because we had a deal. But you only gave me $50. So the $50 worth of salt, I'll give you. The other $50 worth of salt, which you didn't give me $50 for, I'm going to sell you at the new price, at the higher price. And that's what he went to Rav Yochanan and asked him, the Shiloh, what should I do? And for Amalei Rav Yochanan tells him, Kineged Kula Hu Kona. No, when they gave you this Eravon, this $50 that they gave you of the 100, they basically were Kona the entire $100 worth of salt. And they gave you $50 of that 100. But you can't say they only gave you Kineged the $50 worth of salt, and the other $50 worth of salt they didn't give you. No, this Rav Yochanan tells Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, they gave you $50 down payment for the entire $100 worth of salt, and you're obligated because that was the deal. And if you don't follow through, kibel alecha mishapar. Then you're accepting upon yourself a mishapara. But this isn't the raya necessarily to Rava or Abaye. It's just that this was the circumstances, and now it can be understood as he's just oduye odian le and lav davka melat leitinon le. Now, Gemara says, wait a second. This whole din that Rav Yochanan said is in fact the machlokas. It, but we learned in the base medrash, this din of a ravim where the people paid only half of, let's say, the price of the salt. They agreed for 100 dots worth of salt, but they only gave 50 bucks. So this is in fact the machlokas. Rav Omer, kinegdo ukone. Rav actually says, like Rav Chiya bar Yosef thought, that they're only entitled to 50 bucks worth of salt. The other 50 bucks they haven't paid for yet. They don't own that. Whereas Rav Yochanan Amar Lishitaso Kinegi Kulo Kone. So this in fact was a machlokas, and Rav Chiya bar Yosef went to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan paskin like he paskins, but in fact Rav disagrees with Rav Yochanan. More questions. This and says Meisvei. Wait a second. Hanosei Neirovun Lechaveru. We bring down the following brisa, where if Reuven gives an Eirovun to his friend, Reuven gives a item to be the Eirovun to his friend for Amalo, and he says to him, they want to make a business deal. And he says, Im ani chozer bi, if I go back on this deal, so Reuven is buying something from Shimon, and he says, to show you how much I want to buy this from you, I haven't made a kinyan mashiach on the item yet, so it's not mine, but I'm giving you the money. And he says, I'm giving you this additional pikadon. If, in fact, I retract, and I say, I'm sorry, I don't want to go through with the deal, so then, ervoni mochuloch, this eravon, I'm giving over to you. That's how much I want to do this deal. And Shimon, vahalo, amalo, the other guy says to him, I'll do the same thing. Imani echzor b. If I go back on the deal and don't give you this item that you're purchasing, so then echpo lecho ervoncho. I will pay you twice what this irovin was worth. So each of them is trying to demonstrate how much they want the deal to go through. Now, niskaynu atenoyim. The Brisa says, in fact, that these tenoyim are in fact true. And if Reuven goes back on the deal, then Shimon gets to keep the Ravot. And if Shimon goes back on the deal, he's chayv to pay twice the amount of the Ravot to Reuven. That is the opinion, Divri Rav Yossi. In the Brisa, that's the opinion of Rav Yossi. Now, Gemara says, this is in accord with what Rav Yossi holds. Rav Yossi, l'taymei, the Omar, asmach the kanya. We have the famous statement of Rav Yossi that l'asmach is kanya. This is very, very important din in regards to people that gamble. So when you're sitting at a poker table and everybody antes up, so then everybody assumes they're going to win, right? Nobody's playing the game because they think they're going to lose. Everybody assumes they're going to win. I'm better at poker play than all the other people at the table. So the person says, I'm putting in the ante, but I'm not expecting to really put in that ante because I'm expecting to win. So this is what's called an asmachta. So is he really putting in that money? And then when somebody else wins, they're ganavim because he never really put it in with the expectation that he wouldn't get it back. So do we say that the other people are ganavim when they take his ante, when they take the money that he bets, or not? So this is a famous machlokas, and Rav Yossi holds asmachta kanya. Even though the person doesn't expect to lose, the fact that he put the money in, so therefore it is considered a binding, a absolute good kinyan, and then the person who wins the pot, the one who won the bet, so he gets to keep the money. That's the opinion of Yossi, asmachta kanya. Now, that's the first part of the Brisa that says when Reuven gave over the Eruvin to Shimon, it says if the deal doesn't go through, you keep the Eruvin. And Shimon says if the deal doesn't go through, I'll pay you twice the Eruvin. That's the opinion of Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda, the Tana, Rav Yehuda Omer, Dayo Sheikne Kineged Ervono. So he says that this doubling that Shimon said to Reuven, if I don't go through with the deal, you'll get twice. No, it's Dayo, it's sufficient. Sheikne Kineged Ervono. All he has to pay is the same amount of what the Eruvin that Reuven gave to him. If he's the one that squelches the deal, if Shimon backs out of the deal, he just has to pay him the amount of the Eruvin that Reuven had given him, but not twice as much. Now, why is that? So, Amar of Shimon ben Gamliel, b'medvam Reuven, what are we talking about over here? Bizman sha'amalo. When Reuven, who's buying this item from Shimon, says, Eruvoni yikon. My giving you over this Eruvon is my acquisition over here of the item. Avol. But, mochelo bayiso sod to be elef zuz. But if Reuven had given over to Shimon 1,000 zuz to buy a house or a field, in that situation, upara lo mehem chamesh mio zuz, he only paid him 500 of the 1,000, in that situation, kona. Then he acquires the entire house or the entire field. and he owes him the extra $500. And even if it's many years later, he still has to pay him that extra $500, even though he acquired the field now. Now, how does this explain anything? So, my lav, who had din l'metaltalin. So, this same din applies to metaltalin. B'distama koni luhu l'kulu. So, when he gave him over the eravon for the metaltali, so then, in that situation, he acquires the whole thing, even though he only gave him an eravon that was worth half of the amount. And that's exactly like the shita of Rav Yochanan. And here's the kashon rav. Here you see clearly that even though he gave him something that was not worth the entire amount, nevertheless, he acquires the whole thing. So in the case of Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Rav Yochanan tells Rav Chiya bar Yosef that even though they only gave you $50 of the 100, they acquired all the salt. That's the raya that we bring over here from this brisa, where even though he only gave him half the amount of the metaltali, and it wasn't the full amount, yet he acquires the entire metaltali. So therefore, this is a kasha on Rav, and it goes in accord with Rav Yochanan. Shmuel says, lav davka, no, lo, metaltali b'distam lo kani, no. You're bringing me an implication from the case of the Sada and the bias that just because you paid part of it there, you get the entire amount. And you're saying the same thing should be applied by metaltali. That's not true. Metaltalin bidistomalokani. In the case of metaltali, you don't buy the whole thing when you only gave a payment for part of it. Why is it different than the bias or the Sada? Umayishna? Because karka, the bekasva koni lemamish, because everybody agrees. Everybody agrees by karka, one of the valid ways to make a kinyan in karka is to give over money. By karka, everybody agrees that the mo'os are konos. So therefore, when you give over part of the money, koni le lekula, you're acquiring the whole thing, because mo'os are konos. However, by metaltali, the lo koni elo lekabuli misha para, but in regards to a giving over of money for metaltali, which our Mishnah said you technically can retract, it doesn't work either because of the gzeira the Rav Yochanan brings down, because Moshe Kohen is the Raisa, but the gzeira the Rabbanon, or like Reish Lakish, that the money isn't Kona. Since the money is not Kona by metaltali, you get a Misha Para, therefore, when you only pay for half of it, lo koni le kuli, it's different than by Karka, by the Bayis or the Sada. So therefore, Rav would answer that that raya that you're trying to bring from the Braisa about a person who pays only part of the money for the house of the Sada acquires the whole thing. That's, I agree with you, that's in regards to Karka. But in regards to metaltali, no. If you only paid for part of it, you're only entitled to part of it. And Rav Chiya bar Yosef would in fact be correct in saying that he only has to give them half of the salt, the $50 worth of the salt. But the other 50, which they didn't give him money for, they were never kona the salt. And he has the right to say, listen, you now have to pay me the additional markup on the salt. You can't just get it for the $50 that you previously were able to purchase the first half of your $100 order. The second half of your $100 order, you didn't pay for. So that is at the higher price. Okay. This machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan, the Gemara now wants to say, leimo kitanoi. This, in fact, is a machlokas tanoi. From the following brisa. Hamalva es chavero alamashkon. If Reuven lends Shimon money and he takes a security, takes a mashkon, a pikadon collateral against the money that Reuven lends Shimon. The nichnasa shmita, and now shmita comes, and we know that there's shmitas ksofim, that loans, unless you made a prizbal, so the loans that go through shmita, we passing at the end of the shmita, there is an opinion that says at the beginning of the shmita year, in any event, once the shmita year is over, so all loans are null and void. But here he has a collateral. So, even though this collateral is not worth the full amount of the loan, it's only worth part of the loan, it doesn't cancel the loan, and Shimon still has to pay back Reuven the money that he owes him. Even though there was only a partial collateral, it cancels the concept of hashmatas ksofim, and he still has to pay back the loan. That's the opinion, Divrei Rav and Shimon Gamliel, which seems to exactly be like Rav. Yehuda Nasi, on the other hand, Omer, he says, if this erubim, this pikadon, this collateral is equal to the loan, so then, you're right, ain't no mishami. But v'im lav, if it doesn't have the value of the entire loan, so then, mishami, the loan is considered null and void. Now, what exactly is he saying? My ain't a mishamit to cover Rishimu Gamliel. What does Rishimu Gamliel say? That it's not mishamit at all. If you have a collateral that was worth only half of the loan, it's not mishami. So what did he mean by that? Elemo kinegdo, if you're telling me it only means the 50%, let's say the collateral was worth 50, the loan was $100, collateral was worth 50, so If Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, okay, $50 of the loan he has to pay back, but the other 50 he doesn't have to pay back, no, that can't be. Miklad review the Nasi Sovar, Lahach Pagunami Mishamid. So then that would imply the view that Nasi says that it's not Mishamid, even that $50. Now that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There was a collateral, and the collateral shows that's essentially saying that I'm not forgiving you this loan. The Shemitah doesn't come and nullify the loan. So obviously, Ela Mashkon did not get Lomale. So what's the purpose then of giving a Mashkon? If it doesn't accomplish anything, how does the Mashkon help us? So it must be even reviewed that Nasi says that the Mashkon helps. And therefore, El Lav Shmami, like I said originally, my Eino Mishami to come Rishon Gamliel. When Rishon Gamliel says that the loan is not null and void, the Shemitah doesn't make it null and void, when he only gave him a collateral that was worth 50%, let's say, of the loan. So Eino Mishami Bekulo. It's not Mishami at all of it. Exactly like Rabbi Yochanan said. And therefore, when he holds Umay Mishame to come Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when Yehuda Hanasi comes along and says it's only Mishame part of it, but not Mishame the other part of it, Lahak Pagud Lonokin, Alei Mashko, it only can nullify the 50% of the loan that there is no Mashkon against, that the Shemitah comes and nullifies, but the 50% of which is the collateral, it doesn't nullify that. That's exactly like Rav. So therefore, this is what Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yehuda Hanasi are arguing. The Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar Kineged Kulo Kone. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that this Mashkon is the equivalent to the entire loan, even though it doesn't have the value of the entire loan, and therefore it's not Mishamit now the entire loan by the Shemitah, exactly like Rav Yochanan said. Rav Yehuda Hanasi Savar Kinegdo Hu Kone. It's only that part that it's Kone, but the other part has nothing to do with it, like Rav. So let's say this is machlokas tanoim. Kamar says lo, no, not necessarily so. My ainu mishamet kamar Rishon Gamliel. When Rishon Gamliel says that it's not mishamet, so he means lahach palgud inokin ali mashkon. It's only for that 50% for which the collateral is worth. That part of the loan is not mishamet, but the other part for which there's no collateral, it isn't in fact able to prevent it from being mishamet. And that part of the loan, the shmita's ksofim, is nullifying it. I then Mikhlad Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Sofa. Then we said the problem was that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds Lahak Pauk Dinokin Le Mashko Nami Mishami. So then, according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who argues with Shimon Gamliel, even the part for which the collateral goes against, that part of the loan is also going to be nullified. So then, what's the purpose of the Mashkon? Ela Mashkon Dinokin Lamalei Lezichron Dvarim Bi'alma. The purpose of the Mashkon is just as a reminder that you owe him the money. But in fact, if he doesn't pay you back, then the Shemitah will come and it will nullify even that part against which the Mashkon was, the money for the Mashkon was equal to that part of the loan. Nevertheless, it's still Meshameh. The collateral serves only as a Zikaron and not for anything else. And with this, we conclude today's shiur.